The Hollywood strikes are over.
We hold in our hands a record-breaking contract.
First the writers, now the actors.
There's only been a handful of projects that have shot across the country.
This week on Open Record,
it's taken its toll on so many people.
New movies and streaming series are finally coming soon.
About to get real busy real fast.
From the Fox 6 Studios, this is Open Record. I'm your host, Brian Polson, and I am joined, as always, by Open Record's executive producer, Sarah Smith. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
And for the first time, making his maiden voyage on Open Record, the one and the only Fox 6 movie critic, Hollywood insider, and one-time fiancé of Sandra Bullock, Gino Salamone.
What do you mean, Gino? One time? What time? Is there news I need to know?
Well, I just know about the one. Oh. Was there more? I don't
know. You made it sound like she's dumped me at some point.
Oh, so you're still, does that go, is
in
that
my
ongoing?
Mind, yes. In
I did
my
not
mind.
Know that. Okay, so, all right, and current ongoing
forever.
Fiance of Sandra Bullock. Gino, thank you so much. First of all, I should say, we are recording this episode on Wednesday, November 15th, for release on Thursday, November 16th, and obviously, there's a million things we could talk to you about, because I've been dying to have you on the podcast, Gino. I think you're a fascinating person here at Fox 6 News and outside of Fox 6. But we have actually some timely stuff to talk about.
Right, we do.
The Screen Actors Guild and American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, also known as SAG-AFTRA, became the latest Hollywood union to strike a deal with the studios. And this, in this case, ends a 118-day strike with a three-year billion-dollar deal. You're finally going to have some actors to talk to again. That's what you said to me in the hallway the other day.
It was unbelievable. When it was settled, within an hour, I got a request to do interviews with actual actors and promoting their projects. So, yeah, no, a lot of that is going on quickly because award season's coming up quick and they want to get out and talk about, you know, so they can be nominated for things.
You know, it was interesting you said, though, because the one question would be, well, what have you been doing in the meantime? But you found some really interesting things to do when
Brian,
you couldn't talk.
It's so, no, you're right. When I was pitched some of these, I thought, this is not good. I mean, how can this be good? One of them was the movement coach for The Crown. And she was one of the most interesting people I talked to because she was responsible for helping the woman who played Diana move like Diana. And it's things that we never would have talked about before. So it was nice to shine a light on some people behind the scenes.
Look, as someone who is behind the scenes all the time, it's nice. I know all of this hubbub was a thing, but like it was nice to hear from some of the people that
That's
you...
Right.
Typically would never hear from.
Yes.
And learn some stuff maybe that you just didn't know
right.
they needed, like a movement coach.
Right. And you see credits, you say, well, what does that person mm-hmm. do? What is that? We got a chance to do that. But you know what? I'm kind of happy the actors are back too.
Yeah. As much as they are.
Let's talk about the strike itself. I mean, let's talk about SAG-AFTRA first and this deal. What are the major points of this deal and you know, what finally pushed it over the line?
Well, it was a huge jump in pay for people. And especially people who don't get taken care of, like the background actors, I think they got an 11% raise. Normally, nobody cares about those people, but they did here. AI was the big thing, of course, because studios are talking about making movies with AI actors. And let's say your loved one is gone. I'm going to use Heath Ledger as an example. They could take Heath Ledger's image and make him act again in a movie.
Yeah.
Not right, not fair. And they really got that settled. So if there is a situation where someone would want to use a Heath Ledger, they have to negotiate. They have to pay them as if they were still acting today. That's an important point because the thought was with AI, we don't need actors. We don't need to pay actors. Mm-hmm. They settle that.
I also notice, if I read this right, that there's a need for consent if you want
That's
to use.
Right.
Because you could make a movie that was going to, say, make fun of Tom Cruise.
Yes.
But to use his likeness in an AI sort of version or format, you would need to get his consent to do that first.
That's right. And, you know, living actors and then the families of actors who are gone. So, yeah, I think that was an important one. And that's kind of what held this whole thing up. Because that and streaming, which was another issue we're going to talk about, they weren't being paid for streaming. Another situation, too, none of the streamers would release the popularity of their shows. So they didn't know how shows were doing. They would say, well, it was the number one stream show, but how many hours were there? And they weren't being compensated for that. Now that's going to be taken care of as well.
So they're being taken care of. The compensation is there, the raises and stuff. What does that mean? And I think the big thing for Gen Pop, us, like, I don't really care what an actress gets paid.
Right.
However, I really missed that show or yes. that movie that the release date got pushed a couple months. So what does it mean now for all of these shows that had put on pause?
Well, here's the problem. We're coming up on the holidays, and traditionally, after Thanksgiving, production shut down. Now, on November 27th, Dick Wolf, who produces a 100 series, he's going back into production right away. But we're not going to see these shows for about a year. So that's going to take some time. And most of them are starting up after the first of the year.
But aren't there many that were a long way into the process that now there's just finished work that needs to be done? Will those be coming sooner?
Yeah, there were some. There were some movies like they had just a few scenes left and they couldn't finish it. But still, then it takes time to edit and put the score in and do all those things. So it's going to take time even for those. Not going to be as quick as we might have thought.
So there's going to be a lag time before we sort of get our fix, I guess.
Right.
So
right.
You start rewatching things over and over again. I found myself going, well, maybe we should go back and I don't know, watch Breaking Bad again.
Yes. And try series that you've never tried before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And reality TV still going strong right here on Fox 6.
Huh? There you go. Nice plug. Yeah. Good company, man.
Pay you
right
extra
there.
For that.
So obviously this happened after the writers solved theirs as well. What were the key issues for the writers? Was AI a part of that too?
That was a part of it because there was talk that there were going to be scripts written completely by AI. And I've seen some examples now. Alan Alda of MASH fame has a podcast. He had AI write a scene that he did with the guy who played BJ, and it was a MASH script. And it was written entirely by AI. Now, not great, but pretty good. And that's only going to evolve and get better. The other thing is, I have friends who are writers. They didn't plan on being out that long. Imagine all those bills. They're not going away. You're not getting paid. It took its toll.
You know, we had the pandemic, which obviously severely disrupted things. Right. And then the strikes after that. It feels like it must be, in some ways, a real disjointed time in Hollywood.
It is, but you know what? This is solved now for 3 years on both writers and on actors. So hopefully we're not going to have to worry about it. It's probably going to be worse the next time this comes up.
So you're back to doing some of these junkets now. And junkets, for maybe people that don't know what junkets
right.
are, you fly out or you take a train to Chicago and you interview these actors
right.
that are in these films that are coming out as they promote their films. So what happens, you know, we talked about some of the stuff coming out. There's going to be that lag. What happens as it kind of bottlenecks and then maybe someone pulls the plug and there's 14 movies and 7 series? Like, is it going to be
a lot? They're not going to release them all at once. They're going to stagger it. And mm-hmm. that's important because, yeah, you don't want to get lost in the shuffle.
Right.
You want your movie
to
get
it
still.
Stand out. Yeah.
So will this then sort of help them build? I guess that thing, do they have to build a critical mass to get back up to that sort of normal release
right.
schedule?
And not look back and look forward. You know, whatever, we lost this time. We lost the fall season for the most part. One of the other issues that we don't understand that they settled was, let's say you as an actor were hired and you had to work in New Mexico. They now pay you $5,000 a month for lodging. That didn't happen before. Mm. I'll go anywhere for $5,000.
Well, I thought, you know, you said something early, though, that these are the background actors and some of the people
yes.
who aren't thought of often, because I think for most of us, if we go, okay, you know, whether it's, who knows, name the celebrity, but somebody who is a very well-known actor, a Tom Hanks, someone like that, they're making money that I could never dream of. So am I concerned if they get an 11% raise or not? No. But these background actors, many of them, they're just getting by like the rest of us, right?
That's right. And the main actors are not getting that 11%. It's just for background. And the other guarantee now is that, let's say we're doing Ted Lasso and there's crowd scenes and they computer generate the crowd, which they had to do in a lot of these situations. Mm-hmm. They have to be paid each time a computer generated version is used as well.
How do you do that with a crowd? Like, you take people who would have otherwise been extras or what?
Yes, they can now, you know, if you look closely, you'll see the same person going like right. And repeated throughout the crowd. But again, they can't just do that and not pay. They have to pay. And then there's a big fund set up, too, where people will get taken care of, which is really good because no one cares about those behind the scenes actors. They're
Preach.
Treated poorly. No, but they're taken care of now.
Yeah. We're not going to AI you on the podcast.
What least. I want to know is who's in charge of counting each person in the stands.
There's somebody. This is Kale, of course.
Yeah, the job for everybody, huh?
That's right. But no, there is somebody who that has to be accounted for.
But we won't AI you in the podcast for at least 3 years.
Yet.
Because
okay.
then we'll
right.
figure that out.
That
but you
good.
Said that three, you said 3 years, you think this is going to be even more difficult. Why do you say that?
Because this was such a contentious negotiation. And these issues are going to keep coming up. There's going to be another, we want to jump and pay. We want people taken care of. Once the contract's gone, there's fear that maybe they'll go back on some of these things. Hopefully not.
Well, also, AI is going to be 3 years more sophisticated, yeah, right. Which feels yeah. like if you do the exponential growth mm-hmm. of AI, that could be an entire sea change exactly in what right. it can do. I mean, look at animation. When you think of what happened with DreamWorks and Pixar, mm-hmm. just in 3 years, what they were able to do and what they've done in the last 10 or 20 years, I can only imagine what AI will be doing. Yeah.
And it's interesting because of that, like there's a new Disney movie coming out called Wish. They went to the old school animation to make it look like that. So computers are sophisticated enough to make it look like it's hand drawn. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right. We've talked about that, but I want to talk a little bit about you, Gino, because
your mic's breaking up. We got to go.
Testing. 1, 2. I am fascinated by you and your backstory. We talked about it once in your office, and I learned so many things just in that conversation. I said, we've got to have you on the podcast. So for those who are listeners to Open Record and know really nothing about Gino Salomon, let's go back to the beginning. How did you get into this field to begin with? How did you get into broadcasting?
I loved show business my whole life. You know, I would sneak down the hall and watch The Tonight Show when my family was asleep. And I just wanted to work in the business somehow. I didn't have the guts. Sarah and I have talked about being performers. That's difficult. So this is like the palatable way to do it. So I started this company. I was working in radio here in Milwaukee. And I wanted to do a beach party at Bradford Beach. And I wanted to bring in Skipper and Gilligan from Gilligan's Island.
So now I want to, that right there, why did you decide suddenly I'm going to bring in Skipper and Gilligan?
I would drive by that beach and I thought, how cool would it be to have a huge beach party here? I proposed it and I had a boss who has been like my guiding force throughout my career, who's like, we'll do it. Yes, whatever it takes, we're going to make this happen. Well, we did it, 10,000 people showed up. And then I started working with all these TV celebrities.
And you got Skipper to show up?
Skipper and Gilligan.
And Gilligan.
Don't forget Gilligan. And it was picked up by the wire services. So I got calls from around the country saying, how can we do this? So I thought, all right, well, agents, they sit back and wait for the phone to ring. Mm-hmm. So I actively sought out work for these people. And then Gilligan told Beaver from Leave It to Beaver, told Grandpa Munster. And then I would get a call and then I'd start working with them. So through that, I was able to actually go into what I'm doing now. I was working with Julia Sweeney, who played Pat on Saturday Night Live. And I thought, why don't we do a series of performances around the country of St. Pat's Day? So we would do it and people would dress as Pat. It was highly successful. So I became close friends with Julia. And then Disney was doing a movie with her. They hired me to go on the road. Someone didn't show up to do the interview. I did. And that's how it started.
Gosh.
But where did the skill set come from to even know that you could put something together like that? You're working in radio. You were working at the time. Was this at KTI?
Yes, WKTI. Okay.
And you're on the morning show, right? And you're like, tell me a little bit about how that even came about.
Well, all right. I was working construction. I'd taken over my father's construction company. And WKTI was bringing Jerry Mathers, the Beaver, to town. And I was working on a book on my own. No one had ever done these TV show books on Leave It to Beaver. I showed up and I met this person named Dallas Cole, who was the general manager, now named Jeff Rowe, his real name. And he was life-changing because I don't know if you've met those people who never say no. They say, how are we going to make it happen? And no idea is too big. So any idea I came up with, he was like, yes, we're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. So it became... the ideas were successful and it just encouraged me to keep trying and keep doing those things.
Knowing Gino for as long as I have, I will tell you that it takes a special person who doesn't give up on stuff, right, has those big ideas, is genuinely kind. Like how you are right here, how you are on TV is literally how you are in life. And I'm not kidding. Like no one builds a person up like Gino Salomon. He will like, oh, hey, you look great. And he truly means it. Like,
what a load of crap. Great.
No, no, but it's true.
Brush my leg as you hand it back. Okay.
That personality, though, like you're asking, how do you get that skill set? That's just who you are.
Well, and it evolved. Like I didn't plan on this. I just wanted to do something involved with show business.
Well, that's what strikes me is you said you were, I mean, I keep going backwards. Usually when you tell someone's sort of background, you go in a chronology and you move forward. I keep going back. you were writing a book about Leave It to Beaver.
Right.
I mean, who just decides I'm going to write a book about Leave It to Beaver? But you were doing that.
Well, because you were encouraged throughout your life. I had great teachers who anything was possible. So, yeah, I mean, there was no dream that was too big. And then as things kept happening, you know, I ended up, because of Julia, I loved Saturday Night Live my whole life. I had an idea for a sketch. And she used that sketch. And I'll never forget sitting in my living room at 10:25. And she said, it made it to the show. And
there are SNL writers who do that.
It was just like, the sky's the limit. You know, what does it hurt to try? And if you really believe it, like you said, just keep trying.
Now, that's what brings me back to this question. It's why I'm so fascinated by this, because we're sitting in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at Fox 6 News. And you've got, you know, an office down the hall. And I go, with all of those connections and all of that, as she says, don't give up. You're traveling to Hollywood. You're doing these interviews. What are you still doing here at Fox 6 News? And I'm grateful. Don't get me wrong. The part of me that goes, how are we so lucky to have Gino Salamone?
Well, no, I'm lucky to still be doing it. And here's the situation. Look, I love Milwaukee. I love having this normal lifestyle. When you're in LA and New York, it's constant go. So I get kind of the best of both worlds. I can be there for a few days and then have my happy life here in Milwaukee.
Now, you told me about, because I know you go, when you go to LA or when you go to Hollywood, that you stay at the Four Seasons. Is that right?
Paid for by the studios. Let me make that clear.
No. And my favorite part of it is, like, you're such a regular there. Uh-huh. You've got like a bag of stuff.
Yes.
That's
just
waiting for you.
Yes.
It's his bag of stuff.
I mean, my shaving stuff, my tennis shoes. So I don't have to go.
It's like a little cubby.
Bring everything. Yes.
And let me tell you, so before Gino went on this delightful keto diet, he would talk about this acai bowl.
Right.
And Gino, for a little insider, he's a big texture guy. So he likes a little bit of crunch and the creamy, the smoothie bowl. So then now he can't have the acai bowl because now he's on keto.
You know, but the way
but that was there
say,
too.
Right. You can't have it. It's like, you know what? I made this choice. It's almost a year now. And I've lost 53 pounds and I feel great. I remember the acai bowl with great affection, but there's no temptation to have it again.
That's good.
So you're choosing not to have
it. Exactly.
Not that you can't.
I don't feel restricted. I feel fortunate that I was able to drop this weight. I want to keep going and just feel good.
So, okay. So you start, and you also mentioned, I keep, again, going back in time. It's like we're telling his story in reverse.
Yeah.
You said you took over your father's construction company.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that. And was there ever a time where you just thought, well, okay, I'm going to be in construction. This is what I'm going to do.
Well, I always hoped that call from the governor would come to give me the pardon from construction. But my dad had a heart attack. I took over his business, made great money, was off the entire winter, but that wasn't what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then when I met Jeff Rowe, he gave me that possibility. So I started calling into Reitman and Miller's show. We'd lay the cement down and then it had to set. So I'd run off to a phone booth, and I would call in on the show and do a voice or something and then run back and finish the cement before it hardened. So
over the years now, you've come to know a lot of celebrities, and a lot of them in a way that maybe some other, we'll call them like movie reporters or whatever, don't have. And so how have you developed those relationships? And I know there were times like in past junkets where you knew that a certain actor liked a certain cartoon or
Kevin Hart. Well,
yes,
let's use him as an example.
So tell that.
Okay. So Kevin, I have this encyclopedia of useless information in my head. So like, I remember when I interviewed Richard Gere, I remember he played Santa when he was 5 years old. I brought that up and it kind of, people are like, wait, that's not the question everybody's asking me over and over again. Kevin Hart, yes, I love giving gifts to people. So I knew he loved Richard Pryor, and I brought him a poster from Richard Pryor movie. This was early in his career. And he started to tear up. He was so moved. And he told other reporters about that. So every time I've interviewed Kevin Hart, I've given him a gift. And he has been so kind to me. I had my niece here from Italy. He brought us backstage when he played Milwaukee. So I think there's something I don't understand is that people say, oh, you're so happy. Well, why? I can't understand that every reporter doesn't walk in smiling and excited about what they do, because this is a dream. It's a dream.
Well, and you, that's one of the things I'm also always so impressed by, is these actors that you have come to know over the years. it's not just happening within that, the confines of that interview.
Right.
You really have developed and maintained relationships with a lot of people you've met throughout your career, right?
Yes. And, you know, I didn't set out to do that, but it just happened. I'll give you an interesting example. Now, COVID hit and we were doing everything virtually. So I've interviewed the cast of Ted Lasso 3 times. And those are only 5-minute conversations. But yeah. I hit, like Brett Goldstein, the actor from there, and Hannah Waddingham, who was the team owner, something clicked, and you know they look forward to talking, and I can't believe it. Like, well, why me?
Yeah.
You know, so I've developed friendships based on 5-minute instances. You know, Sandra Bullock, which we haven't talked about.
Yeah, but let's get to that.
Wait, bullet points here, right here. I see it.
It's there. Okay. What's the story?
Okay, so I do want to give credit to somebody who worked in this town. His name was Bobby Rivers, and he worked at Channel 12, and he was the first entertainment reporter to go out and do junkets. And I worked with Bobby, and what Bobby would do is come up with something different, you know, would come up with a story or something that nobody would come up with, and that would get the talent excited. So I made that the case. Now, I don't know if this is okay, but I went in to interview Robin Williams. Now, I dreamed of talking to Robin Williams, and I walked in, and he was like this. He was exhausted. He had his hand on his head. And if I don't do something good here, I shouldn't be doing this. So something struck my mind. He was playing a 10-year-old boy. It was a movie called Jack. And I said, do you know how convincing you are as a 10-year-old? He said, no. I said, Michael Jackson has called and would like you to spend the weekend at his house. And he snapped to, he started doing voices. It was, I'll never forget that as long as I live. And then the amazing thing is, if anyone knows about Robin Williams, he would steal material. So a friend called me a month later. He said, look at Entertainment Weekly. I went to the page. It said line of the week, Robin Williams. I knew I was convincing as a 10-year-old because Michael Jackson invited me to spend the
weekend. He stole the line.
He stole the line. But you know what?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So every time I'd walk in, Robin remembered that. And he would sit up and he'd go, okay, like we're going to have some fun here. Yeah. And then one time after an award show, I was just walking down the hall to go out to get my car. And Gino. And it was Robin Williams from behind a plant. He was waiting for his car, but he didn't want to wait alone. And it's like, you know, I know this shouldn't be a big deal, but it's a big, I love these people. You know, yeah. I love funny people. And it was just amazing to know that Robin and I could have fun together.
Okay. When you describe him there, just as bored as he was, he's ready for the same old question.
Yes.
Well, and he's exhausted because he's done probably 40 or 50 of these in 2 days.
Right.
You know, that's
and like you said, same questions of like, tell me about the character development and tell me like snoozer questions. Right. Like, yeah.
Right.
So now explain the Sandra Bullock thing.
Yeah. That's
all right.
You went up on a Robin Williams. Yeah.
You're not getting away. We want to hear it.
I hadn't planned anything. It was the first time I interviewed her. It was the movie The Net. And I had always heard that she's really great in interviews, really fun. So she started flirting with me, which freaked me out because that shows she's a great actress if she can flirt with me. So I had one question and it just popped in my head at the end. I said, okay, I've seen Speed, Demolition Man, While You Were Sleeping, and now The Net. Will you marry me? And she said, if I can decorate the house and pick where we live, yes. So that night she was on Letterman. My friend booked the guests on Letterman, went into her dressing room and said, congratulations, I heard you're engaged to my friend Gino. And her parents were in the room, and she looked at her parents and said, I was going to tell you guys, but I was waiting for the right moment.
She just kept it up.
She kept it up.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So 5 months later, I'm interviewing her again, and I come prepared this time. I walked in. I said, you know, last time I interviewed you, I proposed, and you accepted, and I never saw you again. She said, that's because I never saw a ring, mister. And I reach in my pocket.
Oh, you are ready.
I pull out one of those candy, like those big rocks.
Yeah.
Yes. And she tears it open. She puts her hand out. I put the ring on her finger, and she jumps on my lap and hugs me and says, oh, honey, I'm so happy. And she wears it the entire day, and she told all the reporters that she was engaged. I am not lying to you. I got home that night. The National Enquirer was on my answering machine because they believed it was true. And I'm like, if only it was true.
Wow.
So that led to...
But you've never had the engagement is off, so it's technically, it's still going.
For me, it is still on. And then, you know, it comes to the pressure, like you want to exceed what you did last time. So it was another movie, Practical Magic. And I said, you know, we've been engaged now a long time, and I know you're wondering why I'm dragging my feet, and it's because I want my mom to approve you. She said, you brought your mom? And I said, yes, mom, come in here. And Florence Henderson walks in.
Oh, my God.
And
Gino.
We had planned what we wanted to do, and Florence said, let me see your teeth. And she opens her mouth, and she looks at her teeth. She said, I don't know, Gino. I really think you can do better than this. And Sandra looks at me and says, Gino, you need to choose. It's me or your mom or I'm walking. And I said, I choose you. And then Florence looked at me, and I hope this is appropriate for the podcast. She said, up yours, mister.
I was waiting for it to be something from Airplane.
But... Oh, yeah.
And one more, and there were so many. The lollipop kid from The Wizard of Oz, I brought him in to sing to her because that was her favorite movie, and he gave her a giant sucker. And then the worst one of all, I thought I was going to lose my career, comedian Gilbert Gottfried. I was interviewing Sandra and Melissa McCarthy for The Heat, and again, had this idea. So Gilbert, I called him, and he came to the hotel. And I said, you know, Melissa, I've been trying to tell her how I feel for all these years, and she doesn't hear me. No matter what I say, she doesn't hear me. So I brought someone in who she might hear, and Gilbert Gottfried, he goes, Livia, just marry him. Just marry him. I mean, you made him sexless, parents. Look at him. And then he went so dirty, and I thought, my career is done. She loved it so much. She repeated the dirty words back to him. Then I walked out of the room, and everyone was laughing and happy. And then I see the head of publicity from the studio walking my way.
Oh, no.
And I thought, this is it. And she said, Gino, this was the best one yet. Can we have a copy of this? I'm like, sure. And then Sandra's publicist came up, and she can be notoriously tough. She said, oh, my God, I loved it. It was so... Thank you, Gilbert.
You know, the thing is, you've got her as a willing participant, which That's, makes this so great.
Yeah.
Because you could have done an AI version of this. You had to get her permission now and consent. You paid her. But no, it's so great that she's continued to play along with this for so long.
Really? You know what? There are people that want to play. And and if they know you do, then they're going to do it. And I've been very lucky with that.
This is time for us to go off the record. And what's hilarious is this is the part of the podcast where we get a little more casual and have a little fun. But we do answer a question for which we have not prepared. And Sarah has that question for us today.
All
right.
Is it about acai bowls?
It is not. And funny enough, I had to wipe out like questions 1, 2, and 3 because they're about food. And so, okay. This question is, would you rather be stuck in dead stopped traffic for 90 minutes or take an alternate route that takes 2.5 hours but you're in constant motion?
I think I get the idea. The concept is just not making no progress.
Feels like no progress.
But if I know it's 90 minutes, I want the 90 minutes. I'm looking at what I have in my day and what I can accomplish. And if I know it's 90. Now, the question is, it's at least 90.
Right.
And that could change. I mean, Milwaukee, you're rarely going to see anything like that, but Chicago traffic, LA traffic, those kinds of things, who knows if it's going to grow. So I think if it's that case, then I might, if it was uncertain, I'd go with I know I can get there in 2.5 hours and another route, I'll just go that way. But if it was a for sure 90 for me, I'd stick with that. I don't know. What about you?
I can't. Yesterday, there was an overturned vehicle on the on-ramp to Capitol Drive, from Capitol Drive to the freeway. I was in there 10 minutes. Losing my mind. Where can I go up on a curb? So as soon as I take the 2.5 hours. I don't want to sit still. It would drive me insane.
I'm definitely with Gino. I can't sit there.
Right.
For whatever reason, just that knowing that we're just, back and forth, I can't do it.
By the way, I love this. Kale's like the voice of God.
I know.
We can't see him.
I can hear him in my ear headphones.
Sarah, what about you?
I'll split the difference here. I also agree. I'm good on 90 minutes, I think. Although probably in the moment I would be like, gah! But I don't know. I don't know. The whole 2.5 hours, that seems like so much longer. But I understand the mental part of the constant motion, feeling like you're actually getting somewhere.
Although 90 minutes is a lot in traffic because I use Waze. I don't know if you guys use Waze.
Yes.
But you'll get into a heavy traffic situation and it says +6. So you're like, okay, an estimated 6 extra minutes, but you're dead stopped.
Yeah.
And even though you know it's only 6 extra minutes, it feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe knowing it's only 6 is fine. My fear is always that 6 is going to grow to 12 and 18 and 30.
And that does happen.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So I love Waze.
I do too.
It's like a game. Yeah. Have you ever checked your points?
Yeah, I have. I want some for those points.
197,652 points. Okay. I don't know what I do with them, okay, but I have them.
Do you get like a hat on your character or something, or what happens?
My guy is a little guy from Halo, Master Chief.
Okay. I think I'm still just a smiley face.
I've never used Waze.
Oh, yeah, really? Because it says there's a car up here, and you say yes, it's still there, and it goes like bling, it gets you some points. It's amazing.
Where's my points? I want to know right now.
Go to your profiles. Yes.
We're gonna find profile, out Gino's points. Check out your points.
No, but it doesn't say. Okay, suffice it to say, I have a ton of points, and I want something for them.
Okay,
I'm helping you out, Waze.
Well, this is the one thing I don't get is other people see your character as it's going down. You know, if they're passing you, they see what you are, but you don't see yourself, right?
Well, I mean, you see yourself on the map, so like you're
you? Okay,
your car,
right, okay,
and so then you see other users around.
I'm not a power user, like Kale Zimney, apparently.
Wow. But this podcast is brought to you by.
Yeah, right. No kidding. Exactly. Okay, well, Gino, this has been fascinating.
Thank
I mean, the thing
you.
Is,
Thank
I could
you.
Talk to you for hours, real. So this podcast could go on way too long. But so we'll have to have
He's
you back.
He's gotta get on TV.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
No, I'm just
okay.
Kidding.
Not quite yet.
We're okay. Whew.
All right. Well, if you have a topic you would like us to discuss on Open Record or an issue you think we should investigate for Fox 6 News, send us an email to fox6investigators@fox.com. As always, thank you to the people who make this podcast possible, including executive producer Sarah Smith, our editor Dave Machuda, and our chief photographer, manning the video switcher, Kale Zimney.
And can I say one thing before we go?
Yes.
Have you seen Sarah's shoes today?
Go on.
Fantastic. Her shoe game is at the highest level.
I don't know if you can
I think they're great. I mean it. Look at that.
They match the sweater.
Look at what we've
one
done
time,
in this podcast.
Oh,
we've accomplished a lot. Yeah,
we've said horrible things. I've said horrible things. And now we're showing shoes. This is great.
Full circle. Love
That's it. Not AI, by the way.
No.
Those are real. No, yeah. And with that, I'm Brian Polson. We'll be back November 30th.